I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the T Podcast, podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. What's up, everyone? It's Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. I'm actually recording this on Sunday, January 6th, but as you all know, hopefully by now, that I post on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So this podcast, I wanted to get into just some stuff on my mind, things that have been going on in the world, just playing it kind of off the cuff, don't really have a topic or an agenda. Just want to get a couple things out there that have been going on, more topical in this podcast, and give you an update of what's been going on in my life and what's coming in the T Podcast. So far, I've actually done a couple of co-host tests for the podcast. My buddy that I'm going to have on here, his name is to be determined, because as you know, on the T Podcast, we don't say names. We stay anonymous as best as we can, like I did on T-Blog. So those will be coming soon. We did some test runs, some test recording, and it went pretty fun. A couple guys just shooting the shit. And if you're a fan of, podcasts of Joe Rogan, I think you'll appreciate the conversations that we have. I mean, I think there's something to be said about guys just speaking their mind, and I'm very opinionated, and my buddy's very opinionated. So those podcasts will be coming soon. We're going to hopefully record next weekend, and then the week after this week, going into that next week, you'll have some co-hosting podcasts, which will definitely be longer than me just talking to myself. That's going to be the goal. So I think they'll be very entertaining. So along with that, as we go into the T Podcast even more, I plan on doing more interviews, getting some woodwife ladies from Instagram, people in my life, things like that, people who have known me a while, somebody hasn't known me at all. I want to see how we interact, invite some guests onto the show. So like I promised in 2018, when I got this up and running, the T Podcast will entertain the shit out of you. You can listen to the guy from Boston who's been around the world and been around the block more than once. Lived a fucked up life, has something to say about everything, and it'll be very entertaining. One entertaining podcast that you're going to enjoy is this Thursday. I'm going to get into my dating life. Haven't done much dating lately, but I got almost 42 years of dating experience. So I'm going to get into the whole anthology of dating. It's going to be the dating anthology. This will be volume one. And I think you'll appreciate some of the stuff. I'm starting no chronological order. I'm just going with things that means something to me in my dating experiences. I'm going to start this one actually about online dating, using the dating apps, my take on Bumble, the Hinge, things of that nature, and just how in the dating world now, if you get to a certain age and you're not going out dating and meeting people through your friends, most of them are married or have already started their families, and just don't go out like you used to because all your friends aren't married and you don't feel like going out as much as you used to. So you get to a certain age and it's just not the same anymore. So you go to the dating app. So Thursday's podcast will be very entertaining. Besides that, what else is going on in the world? Well, something I wanted to talk about that everybody has, I think, seen by now. I was going to give it one of my famous or infamous 15-minute reviews, but I'm not going to do that. I wanted to kind of clump it in with the shit I'm talking about today. And that is the Netflix movie Bird Box, starring Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock comes from Speed. From back in the day, I'll always remember from Speed. Up until recently, she did that Ocean's 11 woman's reboot version, Ocean's 8. I did not see that. I had no desire to see that movie. After what they did to Ghostbusters with that reboot, again, I'm not taking anything away from an all-female cast, but an original movie is an original movie. It should stay that way. I don't think anything should be touched. It shouldn't be remade, let alone a reboot where you replace all the actors just because we're in that whole inclusive thing. And I saw what happened with Ghostbusters, and that was a steaming pile of dog shit, so I had no desire to see Ocean's 8, but I do like Sandra Bullock. I liked her in, like I said, Speed. That's one that actually comes to mind that I really liked her in. I think she was all right in that, what the hell was that, Storm movie with Ben Affleck, that dating movie. It's very underrated. But Bird Box, this movie, tune away if you haven't seen it already, because it's kind of like my review. I'm going to give away some spoilers. I'm not a big fan of horror movies. I said this on the podcast. As a screenwriter, a budding screenwriter, as somebody that's trying to write his movies, I've written several scripts. I've pitched several ideas to Hollywood. I've never touched the horror genre. It just doesn't appeal to me. It's something that When I was a kid, I grew up on The Exorcist, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and The Omen with Damien. That's something my mother used to let me watch. And those type of horror movies, you know, they don't really capture that today. I think in the late 90s, the closest they got to that was Scream. When Scream first came on, that was kind of fresh. It brought in a new killer along the lines of Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers. And then, you know, horror movies, it's two different types of horror movies, right? And getting into Bird Box, I just described two types. There's the big bad that you can see, which is usually in the form of somebody just named like a Michael Myers or a Jason or Freddy. And then there's the big bad that you cannot see, where it's something that, you know, it's unseen, something in the dark, something that is coming after you. And Bird Box chose to go down that road. They don't really show the big bad, right? It's, you know, and looking online after I watched the movie and talking to people at work and friends who have seen it, you know, it's kind of up for interpretation of what you thought was going on in Bird Box, where it was something that, you know, again, the blindfolds, you've seen all the memes. And again, they're memes, people. Anybody that says meme as meme, I can't fuck with you. I can't date you. I can't talk to you. Please don't call memes meme. Anything with a photo and a, like a little copy, a graphic, some words, that's a meme. And they started getting popular on social media, but, you know, people make them a Photoshop for years. It's not a meme. Say it right. Meme. Okay? The memes were actually more entertaining than the movie. And the memes we've all been seeing is people in blindfolds, mostly Sandra Bullock and the two kids from the movie wearing blindfolds. And I'll get into the Bird Box challenge and all that bullshit in a little bit. So in Bird Box, you have to wear a blindfold because you can't see what is supposedly turning you evil or making you possess or making you want to kill yourself. People reacted in two different ways. They were either immediately trying to kill themselves because they were seeing something that made them want to die, either be with like past loved ones that had passed away, dead loved ones, or they were trying to turn and being controlled by the big bad, and they were trying to kill other people. And they thought, "Ooh, look at this. It's glorious. Look at it. Look at it." So you never see it. You come close a couple times in the movie. You see like shapes and shadows, things moving, but you never see what the people are seeing, which I like that. I like that horror approach better than always having like a Freddy coming after you in your dreams, or Jason coming after you in the woods in the cabin, or, you know, Michael coming after you into your house on Halloween. I like the unknown. It does something more psychological. It gets more into your mind because it's up to your interpretation. And I know as a writer, you should write everything else for people, for your audience. But horror is that one genre, that one type of movie where if you don't show the big bad, it has people thinking and you're imagining and you're more invested. So if I'm going to see a horror movie, like I spent the 2 hours watching Bird Box, I want something that is going to be like that. So I like that part of it. I thought the idea itself of wearing the blindfolds and something's coming to get you, it mixed with that genre of like the zombie apocalypse or something's unleashed in the world. I like that approach. I thought the idea was good. I just thought 99% of the execution sucked. I thought the acting was bad. I thought Sandra Bullock and John Malkovich was good, but the rest of the cast was eh. And just the whole starting at a later time period and working your way back, having two timelines going at the same time, the flash forwards and the flashbacks. You know, screenwriting 101, you have to tell your story currently. Never use a flashback. You never use that little ploy to get people invested into your movie. And this did it a lot. And it took away from the story. And then everyone was, you know, after they saw it, nobody knew what the hell they saw. And then the Bird Box itself was basically birds you put into a box. And when the birds started going, you know, ape shit, they were detecting the big bad. And anytime they started chirping like maniacs, whether they're in the cage or the actual box that she put them in, you knew the big bad was coming. And they were kind of like your eyes because, as you saw from the memes, most of the movie that the flashback and flash forward, the timeline is Sandra Bullock in a little boat, a little canoe, if you kayak, whatever you want to call it, with the two kids. And they just have to get down the fucking river being blindfolded, which to me was insane. There's a couple times where something happens in the river, but I don't think you get more than 20 feet rowing. Like, I don't know how you knew the sense of direction going with the current. I don't know how you weren't hitting rocks being blindfolded the entire time. They should have died or drowned like 10 minutes into that fucking boat. They had to go like 20 miles down the river, up the river, whatever way they were going, rowing in the current. There's no way you could have trained. And they really didn't get into that. They were showing like how she built the ropes and how to follow the ropes to go outside being blindfolded. You get into that a little bit. But they never showed over the course of the 5-year time period of the beginning of the movie or where all hell broke loose to how you were able to be blindfolded and listen for sounds. They go into that a little bit. But to navigate, you know, to a boat, to get in a boat, to row it down a river, that was just ridiculous. And that just took away from the movie. So it's kind of funny seeing like Blind Man's Bluff, because I don't think there's ever been movies where being blindfolded came into part of the storyline. Recently, there was that A Quiet Place, which I really liked, that alien movie, where instead of, you know, your vision, this was your hearing. You couldn't make noise because the fucking aliens would come and kill you. It was a play off of that, and also that M. Night Shyamalan movie with the fucking trees. What the fuck was it? I forget that movie. Where the trees were killing people with Mark Wahlberg. It sucked. It wasn't one of his better movies, where the trees were just killing people. They were taking them over, and then they were just committing suicide. So it's a mix of those two movies, which I don't fucking recommend. That fucking M. Night Shyamalan movie, that Mark Wahlberg movie, and I'm not even trying to look. I think it was The Whispers, The Quiet, something like that. I'm not even looking. Again, I don't search during the middle of a podcast. If I didn't do my research beforehand, my bad, that's on me. But that movie sucked. Bird Box was overrated. I think everybody had to watch it because Netflix is getting going down that road. Netflix, for the last 5 to 8 years, have been doing original TV programming, and they've been blowing up, and now they're doing original movies. The first original movie they did was Bright, that David Ayer, my boy, that wrote Training Day, he wrote and directed it with Will Smith and Joel Egerton as an alien partner. Not an alien partner, my bad. I'm thinking of the alien race movie, but it's a play off that alien movie. It was he was an ogre or a... from Lord of the Rings, one of those types of fucking beasts that came out there. He was something like that, and it was a time where this Earth mixed up with the mythology of dragons and fairies, and Will Smith was a regular human, and, you know, he partnered up with him, and that was an original concept, where it was like Lord of the Rings meets Training Day, because David Ayer wrote Training Day. I like that. I thought that was their first original Netflix movie, was really good, but Bird Box got more ratings, more streams, whatever you want to call it, 45 million in the first 5 days during Christmas than even Bright, which is good for somebody like me as a screenwriter, that there's now another venue, another media to get stuff out there, and that's Netflix. Not really for me as a new writer, but established writers, so you still have to kind of get your name out there. Case in point, you have A-list actors and actresses like Sandra Bullock and Will Smith go into that, and you get big-time directors making that movie. I think The Irishman with... that's coming out with Martin Scorsese, that's reuniting pretty much, what, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, they're all coming back together for a movie, and The Irishman is based off of supposedly the guy that wrote the book that killed Hoffa. So it's supposed to be on Netflix and in movie theaters at the same time. So that's another big name. You're getting a Scorsese movie on Netflix. So Netflix is going to blow up even more. Which is good. The only problem I have with Netflix, again, I talk about on the Festivus podcast, is that they're kind of fucking the Marvel shows because they have their beef with Disney. Disney bought 20th Century Fox. They're starting their own streaming service, and they want to take all their characters back. So Netflix doesn't even want to continue Daredevil. I'm pretty sure Punisher Season 2, which is coming out on January 18th, that'll probably be the last season. I'm pretty sure everybody's expecting that to be immediately canceled too. And then Jessica Jones Season 3, I'm pretty sure that'll see the light of day. I'm sure it was filmed. I heard it was in production. And then after Jessica Jones Season 3, Netflix will cancel that. So Netflix is kind of getting away from any source material that comes from another media, another business, which that's Marvel, Disney. And they're kind of doing their own, which from a business plan, a business formula, that kind of makes sense. And they have the money now, the backing, and the star power to do that. So... but Bird Box, it wasn't as good as Bright. It's something that you should check out if you want to see where Netflix is going with the original movies, but definitely overrated. I think when you get a meme, I saw one up there where somebody had a KFC box and it had the fried chicken in it and says, is this the Bird Box y'all been talking about? I thought that was pretty fucking funny. Another one had like, anytime you saw your ex at a party, this is me, and it had Sandra Bullock with a blindfold on. It got a lot into that. Or somebody like my teacher trying to tell me what to do or follow instructions how to answer something in class for everyone, and they go to the Sandra Bullock with the blindfold on. So everybody's playing off of that, and I thought that did a good job. And they also had that other one that you've been seeing where the guy that's possessed by the big bad is pulling the old lady's eyes open to look outside to see the big bad, and she's turned. And that's what a lot of people have been using that meme as well too, because it's like, I'm forcing you to take a look at the shit that I did last night in my drunk text, and the guy's peeling her eyes back. So the memes are more entertaining than anything that came out of that movie. But it's worth checking out. It's on Netflix. If you're a subscriber, it's free. You're already paying whatever you pay for the month. Watch it. But I don't think it's as good as everybody's trying to make it seem. So that was a quick little take on Bird Box. What else is going on? As of this recording, the Chargers just beat the Ravens. And next week in Gillette, my New England Patriots will be playing I keep on calling them the San Diego Chargers, but you know now they're Los Angeles Chargers. But I'm not too worried about the Chargers. They weren't that impressive to me. I was worried if it was Baltimore because even though Lamar Jackson is a rookie quarterback, my Patriots play terribly against a mobile quarterback, and we play terribly against a fucking good defense. Because when, again, I love Tom Brady, but when he gets knocked on his ass, he still that gets into his head, and he's not the same Tom Brady. So I was really concerned that it was going to be Baltimore. But the Baltimore team that showed up today looked like shit, and the Chargers, they weren't that impressive. They don't have much of a defense. I think we'll outscore them. When I say we, I mean my Patriots, and I do say we, even though I'm not on the field with them because they're my team. I've spoken about that on both T-Blog and the podcast. I think that we have what it takes to outscore in Gillette. I don't think we're losing at home against the Chargers. I don't think it'll be high scoring, but I think the Pats will probably win 35-27, 35-28, along those lines. I think it'll be more offensive because neither team has really good defense. I think Tom Brady will come out with something to prove. I think against the way this team is lined up, the way that defense is built, I think finally you're going to see a little bit more from Gronk. Hopefully, you know, he does what he needs to do, gets open, just steamrolls guys over. I think you're going to see a lot more from Edelman. I think you're going to see some more from Hogan. I think Cordell Patterson will eat up this type of defense. So I think this team will do well against the Chargers, and I expect them to win. Depending on what happens in that Indy KC game, a lot of people, for some reason, think all of a sudden because Indy's running in this hot, high offensive fucking turn of events that they've been in, that the offense is turning on, Andrew Luck is turning on, and they're red hot. A lot of people are picking Indy to go into KC and beat KC. I don't see that. Mahomes, I know this is his first full year being a starting quarterback, and Andrew Luck is trying to prove that, you know, his body's not destroyed. I don't think they're going to beat KC at home. I think KC is going to put up a large amount of fucking points. I think Indy will put up a lot of points too, but not as close as KC. I think Mahomes has shown that he could keep his composure. I think we have yet to see that in the playoffs, but unlike Lamar Jackson, I think Mahomes is going to lead his team to a pretty solid victory against the Colts. I don't know what people are talking about. And then I expect my Patriots to go into KC for the AFC Championship. And I don't know, guys. It was battle of the fucking quarterbacks when I saw them play KC early in the season, and we barely got away with a fucking win. We squeaked by. And I think Tom Brady will put up a lot of points again, but not in KC. I think this team, depending, you know, if Mahomes keeps his nerves, if he's intimidated playing Tom Brady in the AFC Championship, but it will be in KC. I don't know if the Pats could beat this team. It'll be interesting. I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping what we see next week will show what type of team we're going to have in KC, what type of Patriots team. Either way, whatever team comes out of the AFC Championship goes into the Super Bowl, I do not see anyone beating the Saints. I know the Saints have to win a couple of games before they get in there, but I think this is Drew Brees' year. I think this Saints team is just nasty on both sides of the fucking ball. It'll be interesting to see who they play. Odds are it'll probably be the Saints versus the Pats, or most likely the Saints versus the Chiefs, but I don't think anyone is touching the Saints, but let's see what happens. I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I really am, because I would love for the Patriots to win one more Super Bowl, and then for Brady, Belichick, Gronk all to go off, you know, into the sunset and that call it a career, and then I'll be one of those guys with a team that's going to suck for a little while because we don't have a real quarterback. If Brady retires, Josh McDaniel will probably take over the team. It's going to be a rebuilding period for the Patriots, so I'm ready for that. I've had my run. You know, it was a great 18, 19-year run, so it is what it is. But that's my update on the playoffs. Other than that, I've kind of been dabbling in social media and following along in today's events, and I really don't want to get into a political one. I think the partial government shutdown is a fucking joke. I think that a president just, yeah, picking, like, I'm going to shut down all these areas, you know, because the Democrats don't want to come up with the funding for the wall. He's the one that wants the wall. I can't believe this is still going on. That aside, I don't think the Democrats are going to have a strong candidate in 2020. I'm fucking nervous. I think we're going to get four more years of Trump, and this is just embarrassing how the White House is being run today and just what's going on with the shutdowns. I know there was a shutdown during Obama's time. I don't want to get into that fucking comparison. I'm just saying the reason why it's partially shut down now is because the Democrats are not supporting the wall, which we all fucking knew. Their Republicans not supporting the wall, which is just insane. The Great Wall of fucking Trump is the reason why we are where we are today. And the same with the trades to China and all that too. You're seeing a lot of electronic companies here, like Apple, taking a dive, and I expect more of that. the market where everybody thought it was going to be profitable under Trump is going to be skyrocketing because, oh, he's a businessman. He'll run the White House like a business. He'll run the country like a business. You guys were blind to that. Of course the market was going to end up dumping out, and it has been. And I don't think it's going to make a full recovery anytime soon, at least this quarter, at least Q1 of the fiscal year. Q2, not with the partial shutdown or what Trump is doing. I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg of what's yet to come, which a lot of people expected going into another year of Trump as president. So I'm trying to keep this light. I'm not going to get very vocal about that because I don't really want to get into a political stance today. There will come a time and a place for a political podcast with old T running his mouth the way he usually does. But tonight is not that time. But I just want to throw that out there. I just think it's funny where people who predicted this was going to happen with Trump is exactly what's happening. With people going up against the wall and the market being very volatile, and it's going to get worse. People talking about prepare for the bear and the bear market. Well, we all knew this shit was coming. I don't know where you blind motherfuckers were, but here it is. Oh, y'all must have been doing the fucking bird box challenge. All you people in the White House and all you people that voted for Trump, you must have had the fucking blindfolds on, right? You took that shit off, and now you're possessed by the motherfucking demons. So, the bird box challenge. I'll end on that. I love all types of different challenges. I think the ones that were trying to raise awareness, like the ice bucket challenge and all that, was pretty cool if you actually donated that. I love people using social media for something positive to raise awareness. I also love when people do something silly, like something like this. Would I ever partake in the bird box challenge? Would I ever blindfold myself and run down the stairs or drive my car? No, because I'm not a fucking idiot. I'm not trying to die. All these people doing the bird box challenge are actually hurting themselves. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm honestly okay if they drive their car off a fucking cliff because to me, it's just survival of the fittest. I think it eliminates all the fucking idiots out there. If you're dumb enough to do that and you're a grown-ass adult and you're blindfolding yourself and you're getting hurt, then go get hurt. I mean, we're overpopulated as a country as it is. People need jobs. You know, we want things to get better. And I'm entertained. You could post stuff like that, and I'm just watching that shit happen. So the bird box challenge that people are doing, keep doing it. It's no different than the Tide Pod challenge of last year. I thought it was hilarious. Not little kids eating it because they had access to it. That's the downside of it. But when adults were trying Tide Pods, like cooking them and eating them and stuff, you are who you are. If you were meant to be stupid and you can't fix it and you partake in stuff like that and you hurt yourself or you end up dead, you know what? Sorry. I'll laugh at your video. You did it. It's not like somebody was depressed and committed suicide. A fucking idiot that does something like that, that purposely hurts themselves because they saw something on Twitter. If you're in your 20s or 30s and older and you were willing to do that, then you add no value to this fucking planet. I say do what you need to do with the bird box challenge. Just go ahead and fucking do it. And you know, peace out. Go be on your fucking tombstone. Died from the bird box challenge. And I'll laugh. And I'll look at the memes. Not the memes, but the memes. And that's that. So bird box, the bird box challenge, a little political stance, my little sports update. That's my take on current things that are happening right now. Like I said, I'm doing my dating anthology volume 1 this Thursday. Even if those of you who aren't dating, those of you who are married, follow the anthology. This one's going to be more for the people out there still looking. You'll be entertained. And then for those of you who are married, you'll relate to all this stuff. Maybe not the first one out the gate, but as I do volume after volume, you're going to appreciate that. So I'm really going to get into it on Thursdays for about dating, and I'm going to start with the whole dating apps. And you're going to see what it's like for people like me who have to partake in shit like that today to actually date. That's it. So I just wanted to wrap things up as I usually do. Where to find me? I'm on Instagram. You can find me in 2 accounts. The_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff and memes, not memes. And also on T-Blog, T-B-L-A-W-G, all one word, for some amazing fucking pitches, if I do say so myself. Go look at my pitches. Go look at the T-Blog account. Let me know what you think. Go like them. I'm on Twitter. I'm tweeting every now and then at T-Blog, all one word. And email. Email me. Email me anything you want me to talk about, any questions you want to reach out. Let me know if you want to talk more about the Bird Box Challenge or Bird Box, if you want me to get more political, if you're liking that, if you want to hear more about my sports takes that aren't just Boston teams, email me. It's t@t-blog.com. And I'm on Facebook, the T-Blog Facebook page. And of course, always on here, on iTunes, and the place that started it all, tblog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday. And of course, as we always close this out, until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.